See between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning and welcome to God Talk. I know it's been a while since I've been on. I had some lovely hip joint replacement. It's amazing what they can do today, my friends, but it does take a while to recover. I have been talking for quite a while about this book I've written called The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationship. It's about union with Christ, which is our destiny as Christians. Now I want to begin to talk about prayer, which is how you get there, as we'll see. How you draw nearer to God and to Christ is through prayer. Early on, I've said that there are four B's. Four B's to religion. Okay, belief. What is it you believe? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Christ? Do you, whatever. That's a belief structure we can get into arguments about all the time. Second is behavior. What you do? Do you go to mass? Do you go to church? Do you tithe? The things that you are expected to do relative to behavior if you are, in this case, a Christian. Third is belonging. You know, I don't just have Christianity. I am a Christian. It's my identity. We come to realize that, as has been said, whoever I am, O Lord, I am thine. It's less who I am than whose I am that matters the most. So it's that sense of belonging. And for many, that's it. But there's the fourth, for me, the most important, which is, I'm going to hyphenate it, which is being with. How are you with God? Do you spend time in prayer? And I have found that this is the weakest link for most Christians. Having taught prayer for more than 40 years and seen the difficulty most people have in prayer, whether they want to pray or not, the difficulties, and therefore they don't have a sense of the who of God, of the nearness of God, which comes, I have to say, only through openness in prayer, as we will see. It's interesting, one of the great stories regarding the importance of prayer comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 38, when Jesus visits the sisters, Mary and Martha. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." Wow, there's a lot to that passage, which, by the way, has been used for more than 1,500 years as one of the primary justifications for a life of prayer, for being a Mary rather than a Martha. There's a Mary and Martha in all of us. Most of us think more about being Martha. I mean, can you imagine what would have been like, how you would have felt if Jesus and his disciples came to your home? Wouldn't you want to run into the kitchen and fix them something? Well, that's the probably the natural thing to do if we're going to be human doing rather than human being. But Mary was so taken with Jesus, so drawn to him, that she forgot everything but focusing, listening, opening to her, which is the one thing necessary. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, we find an extraordinary passage, if I can find it here, where Jesus says not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. This is the 7th chapter. Therefore, he said, on that day, many will say, Lord, didn't we work miracles in your name and do wonders in your name? Right? Hey. And Jesus said, and I will answer, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evil doers. I never knew you. Wow. That is a hard one to take. Let me see if I can actually find it. Yeah, I never knew you. Anyway, let me go on. So, prayer is how we come to know the Lord, which is at the center, the very most important thing. This is how we go about and do it, to be a human being, not just a human doing. Prayer has to become the center around which your life circles. Only through prayer can you find and connect with God and remain connected, even during acts of service. As Brother Lawrence, if you've ever heard of Brother Lawrence, a few centuries ago, he discovered while mopping the kitchen floor of his monastery, he called it practicing the presence of God. He felt closer to God mopping the floor than he did even in Mass. You have to note carefully that God will teach you how to pray. That's the words of Paul in Romans 8. That means God will assist you in developing your relationship with God. God makes possible what is otherwise impossible. You just have to persevere in seeking God in prayer. Show God by your very endurance how much you desire God. The great book, The Cloud of Unknowing, one of the finest books ever written on mystical prayer, the anonymous author says, kind of the bottom line is, if you cannot let go of your desire for God, if your desire for God will not leave you, if you continue to find yourself passionately seeking God, your heart passionately desiring union with God, that means God has called you. And if you don't have that, God hasn't called you. And if you have that, it's a gift of God and the most important thing. You will not give up until you attain it. And you have to give God time sufficient to turn your monologue, which is what most of us think prayer is, right? Prayer, I say something to God. No. Into dialogue, into listening. You're searching into God's finding. Look at it this way. When you talk to someone on the phone, you give them time to respond, don't you? Opportunity to say some things too. Although I know some people, I'm sure we all do, who have this uncanny ability, or so it seems, not to breathe, but to continue talking so that you don't get much of a chance to get words in yourself. But with God and prayer, the key is seeking to turn the monologue into a dialogue, to be open, to prayer being not just something you do, but something that God does as well in you. Your job is to consent, to be open to what it is God seeks to do in you. Okay, so what is prayer? Good question, right? It's communication with God in all of its forms. This includes intimate as well as seemingly distant communication, from text messages, as it were, to actual touch, from speech to silent connection. Prayer establishes the bridge between us and God. It is as vital to our well-being, both now and in whatever is to come, to develop a flourishing prayer life as it is to communicate with human loved ones. Let me use an analogy here, see if this speaks to you. You know, there are two sides or hemispheres to the human brain. What connects them, the right to the left hemisphere, so that they can communicate with each other and work together for a person to be whole and healthy, is an extraordinary band of neural fibers called the corpus callosum. Corpus callosum. If this band is damaged or destroyed, that person will, at best, be only a partial self. So let me use the analogy. I'm extended. This is only an analogy. Let's say that the left hemisphere represents the embodied person, you and me as embodied, who seems to live and move and have our being in this physical universe. And let the right hemisphere represent the spiritual domain of heaven, consisting of persons, human and divine, who have spiritual rather than physical bodies. Okay? Now, instead of the three dimensions of the physical universe, namely height, depth, and breadth, the spiritual universe consists of relationships, I, you, and we, persons. So here's the deal. We live in both hemispheres at the same time. Now this, I didn't originate this. This goes way back. Certainly people like Augustine in the 4th and 5th century talked about us being citizens of heaven as well as earth right now. Call the spiritual realm a parallel universe. The spiritual cosmos is as vast as the physical. You get a sense of the spiritual through spoken language, which is always about persons, somebody saying something to someone. So the speech, the communication of prayer, whether it's in language or the sense of the presence of God, connects us with this realm. So when you pray through this bridge, I'm calling the corpus callosum of prayer, that secretly exists between you and God, you enter into the other side, which enters you at the same time. Is that kind of a mystical understanding? That's really what it's about, you know? It's too few people have an awareness of what really is going on the other side. But it is as real. The right hemisphere is as real as the left hemisphere. I may come back to that, my friends, and I could spend a lot of time there. So how does God actually communicate with us? Now, there are at least seven primary entryways of God into prayer. God can get through to us what God wants to get through at any time. You can't, of course, seem to close off from God or turn away in disbelief, anger, or despair. Yet if God wants to get your attention, I assure you, God will. That being said, it is important to understand how God communicates with us during prayer, usually in subtle and unexpected ways. So there are seven essential entryways in us through which God may stealthily make God's presence and will known during prayer. The better you understand these, the more readily your apparent prayer monologue can be grasped as an actual prayer dialogue, as a with, not just at God. It is vital to patiently wait upon and listen for the Lord around these entryways. Now we're at a point where we'll take a brief break as we prepare to deal with these seven entryways of God into prayer.
Are you missing a tooth and wish you could have it back? Or do you have loose dentures or loose partial dentures? An implant can get your missing tooth back and you can brush and floss like any other tooth. Implants can also help your dentures or partial dentures fit securely without the goop. Gentle Family Dentist is the only dental office in Muscatine with 3D cone beam combined with Cerec technology where they can design a beautiful new tooth in your missing space. Call Gentle Family Dentist today if you would like to see if you are a good candidate for an implant and they will take a 3D cone beam for free, a $375 value. Call them today.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Daytime highs approaching 43 today, under cloudy skies, winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight, lows around 41. Cloudy skies, overcast skies tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely, daytime highs approaching 56. I'm weatherology meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 35 degrees.
And we are back. Okay, God's entryways in prayer include, let me just tell you what the seven are, then I will say a word about each. One, thoughts. Two, imagination. Three, will. Fourth, feelings or emotions. Fifth, memory. Sixth, intuition. And seventh, speech to the heart. Okay. Thoughts. You may find yourself during prayer thinking in a new, maybe even anointed way, indicating God at work. Most every morning during my time of prayer, God gives me insights and directions, albeit subtle or sometimes heavy. For my writing, God touches thoughts. I've seen God do this a lot with people. Second, imagination. You may discover yourself imagining, picturing something God authors. This could be like a daydream you did not seem to start, which reveals something God wants you to realize. I've had some really interesting ones, and I know people who have had these kinds of imagery during prayer, which they sense was God speaking to them. Third is your will. You may discover new desires, a greater will or passion for God and for service. It may prove necessary to ask God to affect your will directly so that it is in accord with God's will. We see this poignantly with Jesus' prayer to God in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, not my will, but thy will be done. God, if it is thy will, increase my desire, willingness to do your will. Fourth, feelings or emotions. Your feelings may change. Dark ones dissipate while bright ones dawn. God can just silently ease your burdens and cleanse your heart during prayer. Five, memory. You may find yourself remembering a past moment when God was there for you. And if God was there for you yesterday, God will assuredly be with you today. Trust in God, faith is built on your history with God. Sixth, intuition, called the sixth sense. This is the underappreciated means of discernment of how you can tell something of the who of other persons, who they are, including God. Through intuition, you can sense directly the presence and person of God in ways which can neither be proven or, for you, denied. Discernment is also how you can distinguish what is of God, what is of yourself, or what is of the evil one. Finally, speech to your heart. The ancient monks described listening to God with the ear of your heart. Listen to God with the ear of your heart. God can and does, be it infrequently and always unexpectedly, address you, typically with very few words. God does so with what the rabbis termed the voiceless echo. These words are always what you need to hear, even if you didn't know it, and are always for your good and eternal well-being. Interesting. Well, before I get into breathing prayers, I want to say a word about the number one problem with prayer, which is what? Distractions. Right? Well, you know, I pray, but I start thinking about this or that, or I've got this pain, or I'm hungry, or I have to go to the bathroom, or whatever it is that distracts us. Whenever you pray, there are going to be distractions. Folks, Good luck on not having distractions. Accept that and adjust to it. That is one of the reasons that these are short prayers I'd like to teach you, because it's easier to let go and stay focused for, you know, 5 minutes or 3 minutes than for 30. You got to work up to the longer periods by practicing the shorter ones. Realize and accept that your mind never stops thinking. You know, there are five different stages in sleep. Typically, for most of us, it's like a diver. Every 90 minutes, we go through all five stages of sleep. I think the second one from the top is REM, rapid eye movement. That's when we have dreams. Now, if you were in a sleep study and they had your brain being monitored in all five of these stages of sleep, different brain patterns, and they woke you up in each of these five, you would be able to report what you were thinking at that moment. Isn't that interesting? Brain never stops. All right? So don't fight yourself and try to tell your mind to be quiet, shut up. Rather, calmly work with yourself. Treat your consciousness more like a child than an adult. Instead of insisting, don't think that, stop that, don't go there, say rather, you do not have to go there. You can go here. And don't fear anything in yourself. Rather, love all that you are. Embrace yourself. Listen to yourself as you would your best friend. Take on faith that God is in you, working in you, and God will teach you how to pray and help you to gently overcome prayer distractions. It takes time, but God will do it with you. God will work with you. How do you do this? Essentially, from your angle, your work, by learning to let your consciousness go. Let it go. Like the water of a river flowing continuously with its own current, while you choose to sink silently below the surface current, like a diver in a comfortable oxygenated suit. You got it? You're just floating down into this quiet, peaceful water. Now, boats of this or that concern will float above you, seeking your attention. Let them pass you by for now. And if one captures your attention and you find yourself on deck, simply jump back into the deeper, quieter waters of prayer by turning your attention back to God without putting yourself down. We'll come back to that in the context of breathing prayers to help you remain focused. The key to prayer remains in your will. What your heart wants is, in the end, stronger than what your body needs. Air, water, food, elimination. Do you really want to connect with God? God says through the prophet Jeremiah in the 29th chapter, if you seek God with your whole heart, God will let you find God. But if you're not really hungry, you may merely play with food. As is said, hunger is the best sauce. So also is the desire for God. When it comes to prayer, don't trust your feelings. Even if you seem to feel nothing that's happening, God is nevertheless at work in you. You know, our souls really are like icebergs. Only about a third is above the surface waters of consciousness. The other two-thirds remain, at least until you're ready to know and embrace whatever God has prepared, unconscious. If you are really interested in someone, by the way, say a loved one sitting across from you at a busy restaurant, you will strive to listen to what that person is saying with your whole being. Well, God is truly that loved one, and God is always before you as the eternal you of your life, and not just for now, but forever. Well, let's see. I want to start with breath prayers. We've got about four or five minutes left. And next time, I'm going to spend time teaching breath prayers and how to pray the scriptures. Okay? So I want to just tell you the first exercise, the only one we can probably get to today, a breathing exercise, do it for 5 minutes and then maybe let it lengthen during the week to 10. Do this in short spurts. We're going to do a breathing exercise that focuses on peace. Here's what you do. Find a quiet place and sit comfortably in a chair with good back support. Put both feet squarely on the ground, with your arms resting on the top of your thighs. You want to get physical issues out of the way, by the way, as much as possible. Now, breathe normally in a breathing exercise. Do not hyperventilate. I've done this particular exercise with college students while teaching classes on world religion, and it has proven most effective. Okay, here it is, because we're running out of time. And I'll pick up and I'll repeat this next time. Simply breathe in peace, the peace of Christ which passes all understanding. That's what Paul says. Take to heart Jesus' words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Breathe in this quiet peace of Christ that surrounds you. Just breathe it in, and when you exhale, let go of resistance. In other words, yield to this peace. Breathe out any resistance to Christ's peace. Believe in it. Yield to it. The peace of Christ is the faith knowledge that everything will be all right eternally, and that in Christ you are right with God. If you would take even 5 minutes simply to breathe in the peace of Christ. See, the breath prayer helps you to remain focused, focused on peace, breathing in the peace of Christ, breathing out resistance. Simple, easy. You don't get distracted because you're focusing on your breath. This is a great way to learn how to get into a calmer state. Well, we are pretty much at our end. By the way, if I will have a recording of this show on my website today, drhalgreen.com. drhalgreen.com. And if you're interested, my book, The Heart of Jesus and the Coming Relationship, which includes prayers and prayers exercises, it is available on Amazon. Well, I hope you have a wonderful week. And I wanted to get you into